Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
You know, but sometimes the thing is that we are rich, all right, in the things of the Spirit, in the things that God has given to us, and sometimes we act like we're at either end of the extreme, like we don't have enough, we've got to be careful how much we give away, or we're up here so people can get their own, you know, but somewhere in the middle, you know, to recognize this thing, which is that we've received the Spirit from God, all right, so we can know the things that God has freely given to us. Freely you have received, so freely give. All right, this idea that there's this flow that God desires to just bring into our lives, it flows out into the lives of others and transforms people. All right, so which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. All right, and so there is this something that goes on inside of us because we've got the Spirit of God living in us, which is that, you know, how many times do you find yourself saying, I don't know what to say? I don't know about you, but I find that happening all the time. I had a funny exchange with my wife on text messaging. She sent me a text, said, can you talk? And I said, honey, are you kidding me? I said, you know my reputation. Most people wonder if I can shut up. So, but those times you just don't know what to say. All right? Well, see, but here's the whole thing is that the Holy Spirit of God's living in you, and he's trying to whisper a few things to you to say, you know, here's what to say. All right, now you're not going to get it all right. All right, you know, I mean, if there was somebody, you know, at the sorting places where they sort garbage and they try to get the valuable stuff and recycle it and everything like that. I mean, I recognize that if we speak a lot, more than likely about 2/3 of what we're saying would be chucked aside by the recyclers. Okay, they'd say that has no particular value, but within what we're saying is this potential, this reality, which is the Holy Spirit of God trying to mix in with the junk that we say, some things that were intended by Him. To change people's lives, to change circumstances, to work mightily on behalf of God, to bring glory to Him. All right, so you know, so we speak not in the words that we learn from human wisdom, but in words given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right, and so all right, you know, if you had weak arms, I'd have you doing push-ups. All right, well, you know, if we're weak in this, I want to encourage you, practice this a little bit, the Holy Spirit, you know. When you get a situation and you don't know what to say, and maybe it's a very low consequence outcome, you know, Holy Spirit, could you just show me? You know, just what should I say here? You know, and start practicing that. Start practicing. Look into the Holy Spirit when you don't know what to say. You know, moms, dads, you know, what should I say? I don't know. I don't know what to do with you. You know, well, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in these things. Right, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, okay? Now, I was not picking on anyone else that may have said otherwise. I was merely just trying to point out that, you know, that the Star Wars is a great, you know, film and everything like that, but we got a lot of New Age stuff in there, and the Holy Spirit is a person, okay? The Holy Spirit was working on us before we believed, okay? We talked about this last week, John 16, verse 8. It says 7 to 11 because that's the whole context, but in the middle of it, it says, He, when He comes, meaning the Spirit of God, will convict the world concerning sin because they don't believe in Me. So the Holy Spirit is working on the unsaved, all right? You know, yesterday when I was at that memorial service, all right, there were people who were saved, there were people who weren't saved. The Holy Spirit was there working on people's hearts, you know, and I know this because that's what He does, okay? He works on the hearts of people before they believe, all right? In fact, you would have never come to faith except that the Holy Spirit drew you, all right? So He will speak, He will disclose, He'll glorify God. All right, John 16, 13 through 15, I'm just taking a little piece out of the middle there. It says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. He's going to remind you of all the things that Jesus taught us. All right, so there was one of the songs we sang this morning that, you know, you hear all the stuff that's taught, but that's not all we have. All right, because we have that voice whispering to us, you know, speaking in our hearts, revealing in our hearts, all right, that guides us into the things that Jesus is trying to show us. All right, so there's it, you know, there's times where I'll get talking with people and they'll say, well, you know, but that's just a bunch of books and nobody knows what that means. I said, well, you don't understand. No, that is not where I'm at. All right, yes, I have the Bible. Oh man, do I love the Bible.
I get more Bibles and everything like that. I could probably just about, you know, convert a country with my Bibles, just giving them away and stuff. You know, it's like, I love the Bible, all right? And I read the Bible. And, you know, and I've got this. But when it talks about the Word of God in Scripture, just, you know, it's only sometimes talking about the Bible. Sometimes what it's talking about, very often what it's talking about, is that revelatory word that comes to people through the working of the Holy Spirit. Keep it. Anybody here, like a historian enough, tell me, when did Gutenberg invent the printing press? I heard something. So for the first 1,500 years of Christianity, just so you know, the likelihood anybody had a printed version of the Bible was next to nothing, okay? So what were they going on? Well, certainly what was, you know, they had these, you know, hand-copied versions of them chained to the pulpits in churches, and people would declare the Word of God to them. But, you know, greatly what you had to depend upon was God bringing this stuff to your recollection. All right, the Puritans had this practice of repeating the sermon. And I remember I was reading these old books, and they kept talking about repeating sermons. I thought, wow, I guess they just, you know, use the same sermons over and over again. And anyways, then I found out, no, it was a practice they had after you went home from church. You get your family together, and if your family's too small, maybe get a couple families together. And what you do is together try to recall as much of the sermon as you could and then figure out what we're going to do about it. See, now we got notes and video summaries and all kinds of podcasts and things we can do, but... So, I mean, to understand that the Holy Spirit is there to be a part of this process of calling again to our remembrance, you know, the things that God is revealing to us, that the Holy Spirit is showing us. Okay, the Holy Spirit, when he goes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He intercedes. This is all proofs that he's a person. He intercedes. The Holy Spirit is interceding, as the whole Trinity observes. You know, a lot of intercession going on in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you got Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit both interceding for us. You know, I mean, continually, that there's these intercessory prayers for the saints being offered before God. So if you wonder why you pray, why do they pray? I'm sorry, that just struck me. You know those things where you think, you know, I don't know, what's the sense of praying? Doesn't God already know? God knows, God's the one who's going to act, and he's praying. He's interceding. That's something. I have to think about that for a few years. Yikes. Okay, so, and it says here that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. All right, he loves us. All right, he taught, you know, love of the Father, love of Jesus, you know, but the love of the Spirit. Okay, Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, okay, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And then we ended with this little quote from R.A. Torrey in that book where he says this, but what a holy joy must come to our hearts when we grasp the thought that there is a divine person, one who never errs, who is willing to take possession of us and impart to us such gifts as he sees best and to use us according to his wise and loving will. All right? I mean... That's a refrigerator magnet if I've ever seen one, okay? Just clip that baby out and stick it on the refrigerator. Maybe blow it up so you can see it without having to squint. But you know, I mean, God loves us very much that he causes Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to impart gifts to us, to highlight opportunities to us so we don't miss that opportunity to do this, that, or the other thing, you know? I think about, you know, the chain of events that led to, you know, a wonderful opportunity to minister to a large number of people over the weekend. And it all started with a phone call. Phone rang. I picked it up, and, you know, and it was a number I did not have in my phone. I didn't recognize it. I answered it, and it was this guy, hi, my name's Roger. He's, my dad passed away, and we don't really have a church. I was looking for a place to do his funeral. I was wondering if we could. You could tell he was tired. He'd been calling. And he says, I was wondering if we could do it at your church. I said, sure, where are you? And anyway, so he was at some restaurant. He says, okay, so I went over and met him and Stephanie. And anyways, and from there, this series of events, right? That was an opportunity that the Holy Spirit gave us as a church, not just me, but as a church to pray and to share the love of Christ. And, you know, all the things that came from a phone call and having the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to just respond in a way that was pleasing to God, all right? And so... You know, all right, so sometimes you feel like you said yes once too many times. Well, all right. So all this to what end? Why, you know, why all this, okay? He dwells in us to make us his. All right? You might, you know, have something that you put your name on it, you know, property of, right? please return to. That's what you usually put in there. I got where I thought, you know, if somebody finds this and can't get it back to me, I don't want to feel like they're sinning by not getting it back to me. So I didn't put property of it, but please return to, you know. So anyways, but, you know, and it's mine. You know, I put my name on it, it's mine. In fact, there are times when it is very, very good that something belongs to somebody. I remember at Teen Challenge, the guys play basketball, right? So I'd get a new basketball and I'd write Teen Challenge on it. Now, by writing Teen Challenge on it, it was a very socialist thing that I was doing because I was basically, in essence, saying it doesn't belong to anybody. Do whatever you want. All right? And so they would just beat that ball up so bad, and it would last about 2-3 weeks, and we'd have to get another one. So at some point, I said, we can't afford to be buying these many basketballs, so I finally did it. I wrote my name on it. And it said, property of Don Bolt. You know, that basketball lasted 6 months. All right? Now, okay, you belong to the Holy Spirit. All right. There is a certain responsibility that is conferred upon us because we belong to Him. There is a certain warning around us to anybody that would mess with us because we are not just out there by ourselves wandering this life. We belong to God. We are marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? All right. There's anointing on your life. You know, normally we reserve that for people that excited a crowd, you know. But you have an anointing on your life. All right, you have the oil of the Holy Spirit upon you, you know, for God's purposes. Every one of you. Anybody who's put their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit came in, and He ain't having a vacation in you. All right? He's working. He's working in your life, on your life, and through your life. All right? So that was free. It's not even in the notes, you know. So, all right. So to what end? Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, most of us have never even seen a temple, maybe except in a picture or something. But, you know, a temple is a special place where a God dwells. It might be a false God, but nonetheless, it's, you know, but it's a place where, you know, something greater than us lives. And to recognize, this is not poetry, folks. This is not like Emily Dickinson, okay? This is the Apostle Paul speaking in the Word of God, telling you, look, you, meaning y'all, in fact, all y'all, all right, you know, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. All right, then this was apparently very important because he keeps saying it. All right, so 2 Timothy 1:14. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, that means to protect and keep for right use. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. All right, every single one of you has a treasure in you. If you put your, first of all, okay, let's go right back to the beginning. Unsaved, you know, strung out on drugs, laying in a gutter, I want you to understand something. God put a gift in that person. All right, they had the gift before they were saved. It was just empowered by the Holy Spirit once they were saved. All right, I don't know if you know this. I look at the Beatles and I say, those were anointed worship leaders. Unfortunately, it ended up being used mostly just for cool music that people liked for a long time. But, you know, can you imagine if they had, you know, stepped into that full of the Holy Spirit and used that as worship? Okay? So what I want you to say, every one of us got a gift. All right? In fact, when we get home, one of the questions is, what'd you do with it? All right? How many parables does Jesus have to tell about God giving, you know, in these parables, you know, giving money or gifts or things like that or authorities to people and then calling them to account, what'd you do with it? All right? So you have this, and there's a thing in business, all right, and it's this thing, responsibility, okay, and authority, all right? Now, if you have responsibility without authority, that's frustrating, isn't it? Yeah. I'm supposed to get stuff done, but I don't have the authority to do it. If you have authority without responsibility, that's like misbehavior, all right, because, they, you know, people are, you know, foisting all this stuff on you, and they have no responsibility attached to it, all right? And so they just, and it's terrible working with a person who's got authority without responsibility. All right, but to understand, you have authority and responsibility in the Lord, you know, that what God has given to you, God will back you up. You know, when I work in an organization, oftentimes within the first year, I get an opportunity to find out, okay, now you told me to do all this stuff, I'm going to go do it. Now I got to find out if there's a problem, whether you'll back me up. All right, and if they don't, I know I'm probably in one of two things. I'm in the wrong place, or I'm in a place that's going to cost me a whole lot to obey God. All right, so, but God will back you up. God will back you up on these things that He's called you to do. All right, so, you know, okay, so let's keep going. Okay, so He lives inside us to transform us into His image. All right, God wants a representation in the earth. Jesus was that representation, all right, and He says, you know, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He says, now I'm leaving the world, you're the light of the world. All right? You are the salt of the earth. All right? You're the ones that represent God now. You're the ones that are going to show these things. You know, it's better for you that I go away. What's he talking about? This has been so cool, hanging out with Jesus, going around, man, miracles, multiplying fish and loaves, and all this stuff that's going on. I mean, what could be cooler than this? And you're telling us it's good for you to go away? Because if you don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But if you go away, you'll send him? Jesus, what on earth are you talking about? This is just, no, no, forget all that stuff. No, you're not going to any cross. You're not going to die. We're just going to keep doing this. Jesus, no, 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 no. It's better for you if I go away, all right? Because if I go away, then the Comforter will come. All right, so he lives inside of us. But let's understand from the very beginning in Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. All right, to understand that there is a time frame that God is trying to work in your life. It isn't, I mean, that time frame that he's working in your life right now, what the Holy Spirit is doing in you is for this life. Different order when we get there. Here, he's dwelling in you, and he's got a time frame to work with. All right, it may be your birth to your death is one of those time frames, but then there's other things. I mean, Billy Graham claims that the Lord revealed to him he was like God's third choice. I mean, what does that tell you? Tells you two other people, you know, God intended to use them the same way, and somehow or another, they turned down the opportunity. Okay? I told you the story before about the guy in the steel plant. He was a real nasty-looking, you know, night foreman kind of guy, growled and chewed cigars, never actually smoked them, and growled a lot and stuff. And God told me to go tell him about Jesus, and I paused. And the guy, you know, I complained to God, this is just too scary and everything, and the guy walked away. And the following Monday morning, somebody came into work and said, did you hear what happened to this guy? He said, what? You know, he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit all the week. And I realized, I've been robbed. God gave me an opportunity to be a part of what he was doing in that man's life, and I blew it. All right, so I don't want you to just learn from success. Isn't it cool to let people learn from your successes? But you got to learn from my failures, too. Because you're going to learn from your own failures. You know, don't be afraid. You know, I failed. Oh, no, I'm no good. I can't. No, 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 no. Get up, get up, get up. Come on. All right, so First a couple things to not do. First Thessalonians 5:19. Slow down. Talk slower. All right. Do not quench the Spirit. All right, quenching the Spirit. All right, you know, it's that thing where you got a candle, all right, and you take and you put something over it, and the smoke smothers it. You know, it's, you're trying to start a fire, and somebody steps on it. You know, that idea, quenching, you know, smothering the power so that it can't work. So don't do that to the Holy Spirit in your life. All right, what are some ways of quenching the Spirit? And you can feel free to do this. By the way, sometimes I ask questions, people think they're just rhetorical. You can actually say, hey, you know, I got an answer to that one. How can you quench the Spirit? You know, and I can tell you one thing is just by not recognizing it and just not taking up the opportunities that God gives. There are times, and I mean, I used to say, God, you know, it's like, why are you doing this with me? But, you know, I would be in situations, and God would say, well, what if I asked you to do this just now? you know, I mean, I'm realizing it's like I am nowhere near prepared to step into that, but I want to be, you know, And so to understand, there are times even unintentionally we can be quenching, you know, not trusting that the Holy Spirit's actually going to move. And I'll pick on again one of these stories that you're getting familiar with. That girl was sitting next to me in the theater, and you know, and we stood up after the movie, and the Lord spoke to my heart, said, "Tell her that I do love her and that I have heard her prayer." And anyways, I tapped this girl on the shoulder, and said, "God just told me to tell you that He does love you and He has heard your prayer." Burst out in tears, and I have no idea what's going on. I just being obedient. And anyways, and she says, "You don't understand what you just said." I says, "You're absolutely right. I have no idea. I just did what I was supposed to do." She says, "I had just prayed, God, how do I know You love me? How do I know You even listen to my prayers? And You tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know." I'm going to tell you, those opportunities are there. All right, there are those moments, and growing into that place where you can walk in those things. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I used to say, can you imagine if the Holy Spirit was your Siamese twin? I know it's not politically correct. Co-joined twin. I know there's a better word for this. Anyways, you know, it's like, so everywhere you go, they got to go. You know, so the Holy Spirit's got to go everywhere you go. I don't know if you know this, but that's exactly what's going on. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit's going with you, all right? And then there are times, and you know, do you ever wonder about that? Like, aren't there times, like, when you guys disagree? You know? And it's like, you know, or you want to do one thing, they want to do, and you're trying to be nice, and they're trying to not be nice. And I mean, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, that's what's going on between us and the Holy Spirit sometimes. And I think there are just, you know, the Bible says that there are times when we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to do something, and we're fighting them tooth and nail because we don't want to. All right? We don't want to be nice. We don't want to forgive that person. We don't want to be kind. So, anyways, relying on and yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's cool to get the power of the Holy Spirit. However, yielding to the Holy Spirit sometimes is the balancing principle here. You know, I'm going to receive power, but I'm also going to be a witness. Every time you see something being granted through the Holy Spirit, you see a responsibility that comes with it. Remember that authority responsibility thing I was talking about? All right, so he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. All right, this idea of relying on the Holy Spirit, but then yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 12 through 14. So then, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. I remember that being a very clear thing to me in my early walk as a Christian. I had a lot of junk in my life that I knew was hindering the work of God in my life. And so I started looking at those things and saying, I don't know how to do this, but Lord, show me how to do this. He's going to lead me into all the truth. You know, how do I put to death that thing that's so alive in me and it keeps tripping up the work of God in my life? You know, call it sin, call it error. You know, it's a problem. And God, those things that have been my life when I was in the world that are tripping up what you're trying to do in my life now, I want them dead. I want those things dead. And I remember the story, there was some people, they went out to, in the mission field and they'd been prayed for, and they went out ministering and everything, and they came back and they were given their testimonies and they said, well, how did it go? Well, you know, the people were healed, you know, sick were healed and demons were cast out and we even raised the dead. And I forget the word in Swahili for dead, but it was like, kufwe. You know, he says, kufwe? Like dead? And he goes, kufwe. He says, kufwe, kufwe? He says, yeah, dead. Kufwe, kufwe, kufwe? Maybe not kufwe, kufwe, kufwe. You know, it's like, you know, not dead. You know, it's sort of this matter of degrees here, okay? But I wanted that thing dead, all right? Because it was tripping up what God was trying to do in my life. We got to get that militant about it, okay? That those things that are tripping us up, and trust me, you remember 19 years of being an atheist, I had a pretty good junk pile, all right? You know, I mean, you know, a lot of people would have said, no way will this guy ever get those things out of his life. But God was faithful. Those things were put to death so that the things that God was trying to do could live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I thought, God, I want to be one of your children, not just positionally. In other words, like you granted it to me by your authority, you said you are one. God, I want to fulfill it. I want to live it. I want it to be where when people look at me, they think about you. All right, I want to be your kid. All right, so receiving. And this is where a lot of this is going, okay? This whole thing about receiving. Receiving is not hard, okay? The thing that gets in the way sometimes is this issue of faith. Do we believe? Because if we believe, we receive, all right? So 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? Please understand, everything you have, all right? I mean, you are like two cells that came together, all right? Those two cells received a whole lot and became a human being, all right? That human being was born into this world, didn't know how to walk, talk, do anything except cry and make messes. Some of us haven't progressed much, you know? But I'm sorry. I repent. Yeah, but okay. So, anyways, But to understand, we are what we are today because we have received and received and received and received. All right. People have tried to knock us down. People have tried to belittle us. Tried to get us to not believe in the things that God desires to do in us and all this kind of stuff. And told we're not going to amount to much. Why do people say all these things? I don't know what they do. All right, but. What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you have received. It's not hard. Just receive it. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Do you know God gives out wisdom? You know, that was one of my early prayers. I did not know the Bible that well. There's a lot of things that I prayed for. And God just spoke to my heart one night. By the way, I was talking to God pretty much because I had no idea. As an atheist, I got saved. I picked up the Bible. It looked like God pretty much talked to anybody who wanted to talk. You know, so I just talked to God. And occasionally, I thought, God said something back, and I said, okay, you know, and, you know, but to understand, one of the things I wanted was wisdom. I said, God, I'm so tired of just being wrong all the time. You know, it just seems like I'm just constantly, you know, in a mess because I was wrong. And even sometimes when I think I'm awfully right, you know, sometimes people make me feel like I'm wrong, and I'm just so tired of that. God, and I want wisdom, because he asked me what I want. I said, I want wisdom. And, you know, and I didn't realize that was what Solomon asked for. I didn't realize that the Bible actually said, if you lack wisdom, ask him, he'll give it to you. And God began to start giving me wisdom. So I received it. All right? So James 1:21, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. All right, this idea of God implanting in us. You know, things that get planted in your heart to get rid of, you know, antibiotics and stuff like that. Sometimes things we don't want planted in us get planted in us, and, you know, and it's hard to get rid of them. You know, but the Word of God is something good, and it gets implanted in us, all right? And so those things being implanted, receive with humility. Humility is so important in the things of God, all right? You start getting proud, oh, baby. You know, bad thing. First of all, you cause a lot of trouble, and the other part of being proud is that, you know, there's times when I think God actually withholds because we're just too proud. He's concerned about what's going to happen if he gives that to us. But with humility, receive the word which is implanted, which is able to save your soul. All right, well, I thought you're saved the day you received. Yeah, but there's this salvation thing that's going on inside of you that's working on your soul. John 20:21-22. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. All right, wait a minute. So he was here, God sent him, and he then turned around to us and said, what God did with me, I'm now doing with you. I'm sending you. You know, when people pray, you're going to be sent as the answers to their prayers. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's scripture that tells us that this is something that's going to happen a little later in its fullness, but notice he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you this morning, receive the Holy Spirit in two ways. One, first of all, recognizing that he's there and receive him. All right. Imagine that you were kind of cleaning out the closets in your house and found out that somebody had been living in one of the bedrooms for the past 30 years and you didn't know it. That'd be shocking. Well, it's one of two things going to happen. You're going to either throw them out of the house or welcome them, right? And so receiving them, that receive them. I used to teach on raising children, and I would tell people, look, there's a thing about receiving your children. Have you received them? Well, sure, yeah, I've got them right here. So no. Do they know that they have been accepted, taken in by you, that you receive them, that they are yours, and that you're happy about this? And I says, you need to communicate that, all right? And so there's this thing about receiving the Holy Spirit. One is that, but then is this in his fullness, to understand that what you received the day you were saved is the beginning of what God wanted to do by his Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outpourings of the Holy Spirit that empower for great deeds of service and witness, all right, that receive the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to make that one of the things that you think about and do something about in the coming days, weeks, months, and for the rest of your life. Romans 12:6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, okay, the idea that gifts were given to us, these are things we were to receive. We receive gifts. God gave to us these things. And since we have received gifts that differ according to the grace that's in us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. That gift that you have, exercise it. You've received it, exercise it. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given, again, this idea that we're going to have to receive, one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Wait a minute. Can I say it? Yeah. Now you're. Does that say to each one?
It does.
It does. Okay. It does. It says to everyone, to each one. It says right there. It does not say to special ones. It does not say to pastors. It does not say to the elders. It does not say to the televangelists. It does not say to the prophets. It does not say to the healers. It says to each one. Just so you know, all y'all are each one. You are each one. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Can you imagine how much more common good there'd be if we all get a hold of this and walked it? Who? I always think about that big pipe organ that they had over at Bethel that had tens of thousands of pipes and everything crazy in this place. I'm like, oh my word. And the guy who was dismantling it said, you know, every single one of these pipes makes a different sound. Let that sink in. It's got to get all the way to the back rows here. Hang on. Okay. All right. So each one of those pipes makes a different sound. All right. So the organ is... can't play the whole piece unless every pipe makes its sound. All right? Now, okay, so God, you know, like when I watch, I wrote this down, but it was too flowery, so I never did publish it, but I was watching the RPYO, right?
Yeah.
Okay, RPYO. Anyways, just make sure you got the initials right. Anyways, but the RPYO, and I said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. You got this person up there conducting, all right? Interestingly, that was the only person not playing an instrument, okay, because he's conducting. He's given out all the instruments, all right? And he just like this, and the whole thing comes together as they give attention to and obey the leading of the conductor. To understand, you're like this pipe organ, right? You're like this orchestra. Every one of you has this manifestation that's been given to you of the Spirit for the common good. And you know all those inferiority feelings that you have where you think, I'm not that good. I know God's never going to use me, all that kind of stuff. That's getting in the way. All right, you got to give that stuff up. You got to repent of that. Call it sin. You know, this thing where I won't recognize that God has given me a gift for the common good, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I need to start manifesting. All right, now if you got some other spirit, I just assume you manifest outside, okay? But, sorry. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That one, by the way, does not say, and each of you has one of those. That's the stuff we're all supposed to get, all right? Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, this whole thing about killing off that other thing, and it's with its passions and desires, okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. If we're going to live by the Spirit, let's also live out our lives. Let's practice what we do by the Spirit. And so as we head towards the communion table, and the hymn team can start to prepare here, all right? Consider this truth that's been set before you. Turn. You know, sometimes I encourage people, you know, just as a prophetic thing, just to say, you know, sometimes you just got to stand there and say, okay, God, I turn. All right, I want to go the other direction now. All right, so consider, turn, and welcome him. Welcome the Holy Spirit with his work and dealing in your life. 1 John 5, 19 through 20. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Can I please help you to grasp this? That, you know, I go out through the world, and I see all the problems and everything like that. You know, sometimes I don't know that they have a whole lot of choice unless they receive Jesus because they're living under the power of the evil one, but I'm of God. Now, unless you get this, hey, wait a minute here, hang on, get my shoes off here. Hey, wait a minute, ha! I'm of God, you know? No, that's not what it's talking about, okay? It's not talking about like a pride deal. It's talking about, wait a minute, see, you are the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this world today. And if there's something evil and they're going to have a prayer of knowing the truth and repenting, you're it. We know that we're of God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Go back to that scripture that I talked about earlier where I talked about, I didn't talk about the Word of God, talked about it, about, you know, being the sons of God. These are the ones who walk according to, these are the sons of God. And so when that's going on, the Spirit testifies and he says to our spirit, you are a child of God. And we come through with this confidence. So I want to encourage you in the time to come and as we approach the Lord's table this morning, all right, to speak to the Holy Spirit. Offer him more of you so that you can be a witness through him. You know, this thing about, you know, in Pentecost and charismatic circles says, get more of the Holy Spirit, get more of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with wanting more of the Holy Spirit. But in the process of all that understanding, that what God is looking for along with all that is that we would yield more of ourselves to him so that he can fill it.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.